Attention, ladies in the Leawood area. Beaumont Health and Wellness is here and offers award-winning wellness and beauty treatments like hormone therapy, weight loss, body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Right now, get our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to recharge your body. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8 o'clock hour here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys and Texas Rangers. I'm Sean Treif alongside RJ Choppy and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt and Brian Schottenheimer, new Cowboys head coach, just speaking at the owners' meetings in Palm Beach. Who are we giving this credit to? John?
John Machota. These are John Machota's clips.
John Machota has the clips. Brian Schottenheimer hot off the presses. And I want to hear first about the Cowboys' need, which Stephen Jones stressed yesterday, for the number two wide receiver.
CD's an incredible player. Always looking to add depth at that room. Again, really proud of Jalen Tolbert. I've talked about him from the time we started talking about it 2 years ago when he was improving to now we talk about him as the leading receiver touchdown-wise on our team. Along with finding guys and adding more pieces, it's our job as a staff to be a developmental staff, right? We need to get these guys like Ryan Flournoy, Mingo, to take the next step. We have to do that. That's our job. And so one of the things that we're working on right now is an improvement plan for each guy, okay? And, all right, so let's use Mingo, for example. These are the two or three things that, okay, hey, for Mingo to get to where we want him to go, he does these three things. It's not just those three things. It's what are the steps, the action plan to do those three things. And so that's what we're looking at now with our current players because, as you know, they come back here in 2 weeks. And so between developing those guys on the roster and always looking under every corner to add some speed and some more playmaking skills, we're always looking to do that.
I love the answer of developing. Todd Haley first taught me about this in Kansas City.
Well,
you remember Todd Haley?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes acted like a nut job in the National Football League. But his father was a famous personnel guy, I believe, with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Charles, yeah.
That's all he talked about. Develop. Develop. I'll tell Charles you said that. He's got a white son. Develop. 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 And this was a Bill Parcells thing as well. Parcells, you have to develop the people that you actually have. You don't just draft them and say, all right, you are the player that you are. You have to make Flournoy, you have to make Mingo better. You have to develop them. That is one of your major responsibilities as a coach.
Yeah, and I think that's a good answer, a very polished answer. It is still kind of a diplomatic one, I think. I'm sure a lot of the discussion from the Cowboys has been, hey, we invested in Mingo. We made this trade for Mingo. We'd like to see that hit. You know, we picked Jalen Tolbert kind of high. We'd like to see that hit. Is part of what you're going to do, is part of how you're going to be different from Mike, is going to be how you're going to develop these guys, because that's going to be important to us. So I think he's trying to underscore that while also giving credence to the idea of, yeah, we're going to keep an eye out for maybe some speed and some other things that might be out there to fill out that room a little bit. But yeah, top line item here is just we need to make those guys better, and that falls on us.
All right, what about the number 12 pick and how Brian Schottenheimer is looking at that selection?
The starting point would be best player available.
You know, you're always looking for game changers when you're picking 12. Like, we don't want to ever pick 12th again. All right, let's be honest. We don't want to pick that high. But you're looking for guys that influence the game. How do you influence the game? You rush the quarterback and you get sacks, strip sacks, fumbles, whatever it is. You score touchdowns. Okay. So those are usually, I look at it this way, you build it from the outside in. So you got corners, receivers, they get isolated one-on-one. Pass rushers, tackles, they get isolated one-on-one. And then obviously the quarterback position. But usually that's the way I've looked at it, is when you're building a roster, kind of think of it from building it from outside in, based on guys that get isolated a lot. Because when you're isolated and you can't help, it's pretty daunting task sometimes.
That's it. I mean, you want, if a corner gives up, if a linebacker gets beat, or a defensive tackle gets beat, there's a linebacker right behind him. And if the linebacker gets beat, there's a safety. If a corner gets beat, it's six. I mean, they have a safety, but there's no telling, right? You know, especially on a one-on-one. That's why corners are, you know, to me, of the utmost importance. And you cannot have a weak link at all in your secondary. You can have a weak link in other parts of your team. You can't have a weak link in the secondary.
I mean, I think that's actually a really fascinating, enlightening answer from
Brian
job, Schottenheimer.
Good job, Choppy. Oh.
no, that Schottenheimer being willing to... This is where I think it's just... We're going to have a better idea of what this team thinks on a week-to-week basis and how they're approaching things. Because I don't know that Mike would have ever gone detailed enough to tell you how he prioritizes positions like that and moving, all right, outside in, and this is why. And I think it's a nice detailed answer. I'll say, well, they're talking about there's clearly a need for receiver, and he's talking about, man, the priority guys on that island, that's also going to be receiver. I think that sounds to me like there's a decent chance that sitting there at number 12, Brian Schottenheimer maybe saying, if there's a good receiver there, like, let's take that. Let's go get that guy.
When it's of the utmost importance to win your individual matchup, that's where the priority and the, you know, kind of the premier positional value lies. Where you have to, if you don't have to win your individual matchup to be successful, you're deemed less valuable.
Let's talk about Cowboy draft fits, Bobby, with this piece that came out yesterday.
Yeah, so this was over at ESPN. This is Matt Bowen, who I actually think does a pretty good job. He generally does some film analysis for them, regular season draft, and what he broke down this time was he took 20 prospects in the draft class and said, these are the best, like my favorite fits for each of these 20 players. And it doesn't have to be with their first round pick, just can be somewhere to couple them within the draft. And he has the Cowboys on this list, and it's a running back. It is not Ashton Jeanty. It is not Omarion Hampton from North Carolina, who has become a chic pick as the second running back off the board to the Cowboys. No, it's Travion Henderson from Ohio State. And he says, where would Dallas pick him? He said, preferably around pick number 44. This would not be a first-round pick. He said, the Cowboys signed Javonte Williams in free agency, but Henderson would split touches with him. The Cowboys need the help. They had a league-low 6 rushing touchdowns last season and averaged just 4 yards per carry. Henderson is a slasher in the run game with big play ability once he gets through the second level. Henderson would bring a dynamic element to the Dallas offense with his receiving skills, too. That's something Brian Schottenheimer has underlined before about his running backs. He wants them to be able to catch the ball. He can operate as a receiver out of the backfield or split out wide to create matchup advantages. Henderson caught 77 passes during his time at Ohio State, and he will see an expanded route tree as a pro, which includes third down reps, thanks to his refined pass blocking. And I think that's a good one. Henderson is a fit. I was thinking about this yesterday, and I was like, let me rack around my brain a little bit and think of a good fit that people can keep an eye on all the way down the line. So first, second, third round picks. First round pick to me, if you want to look at like what is just a perfect fit for Dallas, not necessarily that he'll be there or if he's there that they'd even take him, but Will Campbell, the offensive lineman from LSU, that to me is just a perfect plug him and play him replacement guard for Zach Martin.
Mike Vrabel said you have to view Will Campbell as a left tackle. Do you agree?
No. You don't have to. Will Campbell could probably play left tackle. He's got really short arms. And that's a problem for him. Yeah, it's...
Does he?
Yes, he does.
Does he?
Yes. He's got an issue with the length. But Will Campbell, I think you bump him inside and take advantage of a lot of his really quality run blocking and just a lot of his really strong technique. His pad level gets a little too high at times. He has some issues where he still needs to clean up his technique a little bit. But to me, that's a perfect plug-and-play guard. Same sort of situation that you were looking at from Zach Martin, where you got a guy coming from a Brian Kelly system who played tackle that you'll bump inside to guard. And so I think that that's something that would work out well. Second round, Jalen Knoll, the receiver from Iowa State. If you've taken offensive line in the first round, second round of me, Knoll would be a perfect complement to CD and the things that Knoll can do as like a true Z receiver, which is the guy step off the line of scrimmage, can get vertical, can do some of the stuff on the deeper part of the route tree. And when you talk about mental makeup and character and those things, everybody you talk to says that dude is every box checked. Like somebody, Brent Callaway over at Exos, I talked to him about him and they had trained him. He said, I've told everybody that asked me about him, he's the valedictorian of the program this year. Like that dude is always first up doing the workouts, shows up an hour early for every workout, holds guys accountable, checks everybody. That dude is perfect. And so when we hear about what Schottenheimer wants, that's another one. And then the third round for me, Jacob Parrish, who's the cornerback at Kansas State, who when you watch his tape, to me, it's really difficult not to see Jordan Lewis. And so when you're talking about finding a Jordan Lewis replacement, somebody who can play the nickel, at Kansas State, he played inside, he played outside, he shows run support, he smacked the hell out of Cam Scataboo on tape in one play last year, those tree trunk legs. I guess he had another bad croissant earlier in the day. He went down like nothing when the 188-pound Jacob Parrish knocked him down. But Parrish is fantastic. The only thing that's different with him and Jordan Lewis, I feel like, really, Jacob Parrish has better speed. Jacob Parrish is a 4.3 guy. Jordan Lewis is 4.5. So willing run support, inside-outside flexibility, a little on the smaller side, but really good speed, really disciplined. I think he's fantastic. And those are all three that I think would fit really well in each round.
And the reason that Choppy was questioning the arm length is because of Armgate? Is that
Armgate?
What's developing now with the draft?
Yes. Have you seen this, Bobby?
Yes, I have.
So, if you measured as an offensive lineman at the combine, your arm length was on average almost like a half inch shorter than it was at the showcase. So, the Senior Bowl or the Shrine or Pro Day.
Were the ladies measuring these guys' arms?
I don't know. But at the showcase, Will Campbell measured at 33 flat. And at the combine, 32 5/8. You had guys like Marcus Mbau at Purdue. He measured 33 at the showcase, 32 at the combine. Every single player across the board measured 3/8 of an inch or more less at the combine than they did at their showcase. Who knows why? For whatever reason, it's different. And this puts into, I mean, conspiracy theorists now will come out here now and start saying, well, they're just trying to get a bunch of guards in there because guards are cheaper than tackles.
So a lot of times, I mean, it's literally the way they measure these is, all right, you put a measuring tape up here on this point in their shoulder and you stretch it and you go to this fingertip here. You'll get hand spans that are different. You'll get arm lengths that occasionally are different. To the teams, ultimately, they aren't going to care a ton. Like, they will trust one of those measurements. And so to them, they don't care. It's settled. One of them is settled and they're happy with the number. I'll say this about Will Campbell. Even if he's 33, that's too short to play tackle for a lot of teams. That's probably too short to play tackle for this team, 33-inch arms.
Final comment from Brian Schottenheimer this morning, courtesy of John Machota in Florida. What's up with the Micah deal?
Yeah, you guys know. I mean, hey, look, at the end of the day, this business, and when you're dealing with, you know, the money that's being tossed around, not just with Micah, but with the big-name players, negotiations sometimes take time. I feel very comfortable. Micah said he's going to be around. I think that's what he wants to be. I think we're all very comfortable with that. And at the end of the day, he's a great player, and, we think, he's just getting started, to be honest with you. So I have no question in my mind that he'll be around.
God, I love the guy's personality. I just love him. I can't wait for the coach's show. And our lunch, Bobby, when is it?
Yeah.
When are we sitting down? Are we breaking bread?
They're all out of town right now, so I'd imagine when they come back sometime.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
How are we going to suggest or push Brian to pick up the tab? I leave you usually in charge of those things.
Oh, just simple. Just ignore when the check comes.
You don't make a comment?
No,
this will be choppy at that lunch. He'll go.
No, I won't even. I won't
frisk
even reach.
Himself.
And he'll I won't just even reach.
Yeah, he'll look like reach. He'll look like he's going through the TSA line that he never goes through.
No. And then
he's
going to go. Just... I'll pay.
Yeah. You know, if I'm invited, oh, cheap, cheap one. Cheap
they pay
here.
Anything for an invite.
Yeah. It's
you know, we should have Peyton. We should have Peyton there.
We should have.
Yeah, you're going to be talking to him. You're going to be starting it off. How would you grade your McCarthy interaction over the? How long have you been on this show? Two.
Yeah, a little over 2 years.
All right. So how would you grade it out with you and Mike? You know, picking up and ending the phone calls.
Really well. I mean, I always asked him how he was doing this morning. He always asked me win or loss the week before. You know, he would ask me how I was doing, how's the guys doing sometimes. You know, I'd update them on, you know, if it's someone's birthday, you know, give them a little inside PR on the show.
Okay.
So he was aware of what was going on. So I thought it was really well.
Did he ever ask about me?
No.
Oh.
He says, Bobby out today?
Sadly not. The Dallas Stars, the only ones to shine last night. And what has LeBron learned about Luka so far? That's next on Sean and RJ, 105 through the Fan.
Hands it forward. Johnston fighting through. He scores! Wyatt Johnston, the goal-scoring streak up to 5 games, and Dallas is in front.
The only shining part of the night coming from your Stars, get it?
One shining moment.
Victory Plus with the call. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean and RJ along with Bobby Bell here on 105.3 The Fan. Wyatt Johnston continuing the hot streak. And so did the team. They stretched their winning streak to 6 games, a 3-1 win, owning the Kraken.
Owning the Kraken. I'm crediting to Smith with the shutout. It was not his fault on the goal that he allowed. He allowed the goal in the first minute. The team did. Breakdown of defensively.
6 goals allowed in his last 5 games played.
He was phenomenal. But this game had a lot of scoring early and then a lot of nothing. They had 3 goals total in the first 3.5 minutes, and then they had nothing the rest of the way until you get an empty netter.
30th goal of the season for Wyatt, second straight 30-goal year. He's only going to turn 22 in May, and they finished the road trip 4-0, and for the month of March, 11-2-2, 4 points behind Winnipeg for the top spot in the Central. They will host Nashville on Thursday night. Colorado picked up a point in an overtime loss, but the Stars have stretched their lead over the Avs to 8. Spits and Suds with your hockey podcast and knowledge. Have we gotten to the point now where if they don't win at all, it's a disappointment? It'll be a disappointing year? Or is there just a monster out there that you have to give it to first or second?
I mean, there's good teams out there, but, you know, because like Winnipeg has been like basically the best team in the division the entire year. But it's also to the point, like, they are a really, really good team, but the problem is that the Stanley Cup playoffs never go the way that we think they will. It's like baseball, you know. The Dodgers have been the best team in the sport for a decade, and they have one title in a full season, you know, and that was last year. And obviously they won during the bubble, but it was a half a season. It's like those two sports, it's impossible to, you know, like put it on it's a disappointment if not. I think if you reach the West Finals, you're the Final Four, it's like, okay.
Which, according to ESPN Bet and other NFL or NHL futures sites, Sean, this is not Money Puck. This is actual betting futures. It's pretty much everybody has either the Stars or the Panthers as the favorite right now to win it all.
Fan text, Franco LaFranco injury attorney line, 877-881-1053. Is it championship or bust for the Stars? 877-881-1053. They were the only positive of the night because the Rangers got smacked with Kumar Rocker getting worked. RJ will have Diamond Cavs at 9 a.m. on your home of the Rangers. And the Dallas Mavericks suffered a terrible loss at the AAC with the return of Daniel Gafford. Lively was questionable. It seems like he's going to be back either this week or within the next week overall. And they lose to the Nets after Brooklyn just put up a 3-point display that they're not usually capable of. Clay and Dinwiddie had 3-point attempts at the end, but Jason Kidd, even with the energetic return of Gafford, not happy with the effort with so much to play for, plus Sacramento loss to Carlisle, and you could have gained some ground between 9 and 10. Bad loss for the Mavericks. Good loss for Team Tank.
You do pick up half a game on the Phoenix Suns. So that's one positive that came out from tonight. We're trying to have silver linings here. We're trying to look at things positively. It's really rough to watch the Mavericks, though. Like even when they they've played well and they've been scrappy, and you have to say, man, I really admire how much they're fighting and they clearly care. And Jason Kidd deserves a lot of credit for this and that. It's just still really hard. What, 2 months later to the day? That was February 1st, right?
Oh God!
Two months later to the day, it's really hard to turn on a game and go, he's not here anymore. And it's really hard to watch it and enjoy it.
Why couldn't that have been an April Fool's joke?
Would have been nice. Oh gosh, could you imagine if they would have, if the trade deadline would have been up further and they that trade on that day? No one would have believed it.
Nico still going into hiding. He only shows up at arenas, it seems like, during the warm-up or right before the warm-up. Well, yesterday at the AAC, a Mavs fan saw him and started yelling this.
Fire Nico! Fire Nico! Fire Nico!
Each one got angrier than the one before it.
Right to Nico's face. Nico sees him, walks back underneath the tunnel, and then a Mavs personnel guard, security guard, whatever he is, goes up and looks like he has to be held back from going off or fighting this fan.
Boy, the Luka trade is now the second worst decision that Nico Harrison has made. Behind that zip-up turtleneck he was wearing, that mustard gold looking. Yeah. Oh my gosh, no fashion sense at all from Nico Harrison. And I'm glad somebody sat right there and told him. You saw him though. He kind of shakes his head as he's walking off. He scattered.
He looked at him. He looked right at him, and then he was like, "Oh, this is not going to go the way I thought it was. I hoped it was going to go." I just don't know when he will be back in the building, like in his normal seat every night without people saying things to him.
Have you ever, like, you know, when you step outside and you feel the temperature in Dallas, and like, let's say it's a summer day, and you're like, oh yeah, it's probably, guess what temperature is? And you're like, I don't know, it's probably like 95 or 96. And you're not going to be too far off. You're probably somewhere in the ballpark. Nico walks outside and goes, it's 60 degrees outside. Like, he has no concept of
the temperature.
What's going on? It's bizarre. I've never seen
somebody. Knows now.
Yeah, I guess, is it? I don't know if it's
He's hiding.
Is it will? Has it been willful ignorance at times, or is he just completely disconnected?
Well, what has he done lately to show he's I mean, he's literally in hiding.
He's in hiding.
I think the fact that he even...
He's a witness protection.
I think the fact that he even comes out of the tunnel at this point, no matter what time it is bold.
The place was empty.
There was like three people there.
How this guy even got
in. Yeah, I know the place is empty, but that was 30 minutes before tip, Sean.
Stop it. It was not 30 minutes before
tip. Have you guys noticed or seen attendance dropping?
Not the figures. The figures won't, because that's just gate. But yeah, if you look at the arena... I've had people send me pictures of there's empty spots.
Luka and
what's the point? Like, what's the draw? What's the draw now? Like,
being able to yell at Nico. That's why you pay to show up.
Luka and the Lakers get a win yesterday over the Armpit. And LeBron, he's now doing the JJ Redick podcast with Steve Nash, the Mind the Game pod. And Nash asked LeBron, what's it like having this guy as your teammate?
I'd like to know from you, like, what excited you about getting to play with Luka?
Because he plays the game how I've always wanted to inspire the generation to play the game. And it's nothing predetermined. It's if you have two guys on you, there's a numbers game.
Right.
If you have the advantage, and if it's a guy that, you know, you that can't guard you, or you're able to beat him, and then the guy traps the box or another guy sinks, I'm able to make the passes and make the reads before they happen.
Right.
I love it. That is Luka's game, and that's the thing. That's why it's, even when he plays poorly, quote-unquote, and it's not been Luka, that's why he still averages 28, 8, and 8, is because that's the type of way that he approaches the game, the way that he sees the game. I do think it's hilarious that LeBron's number one note, like, underline is, like, he plays the game the way I've looked to inspire these young generations to play the game.
Youngins.
It's still about him.
Luka, it probably does take a minute to figure him out, like, if you're a teammate of his, like, where he wants you on the floor, you know, where you need to go. But I also think Luka's, like, so smart with the basketball that he knows where you're going to go based on where the defense is. He knows where you're going to settle in to the zone based on where the defense is playing, and it makes it a little easier transition.
And then Nash and LeBron talking about not just making, there's a difference between making teammates better and doing something even more impressive.
I've always loved the players that breathe so much confidence into his teammates that make them believe that they're actually better than what they really are.
Yes, yes.
You did that. Luka has done that for 7 years. Chris Paul did that when he was down there in New Orleans and doing that for that team down there in New Orleans. I've been able to do that with a few of my teams. I mean, I don't go to the NBA Finals in 2006 with that team if I'm not able 100%. To make them believe that they're greater than what they are.
Yeah.
You know, and just give them that confidence.
It's a great point because I think people understand you make your teammates better. But making them believe is a whole other thing. Yes. Because you can spray the ball around the gym and make people better.
Right.
But to give them that belief that, like, no, what I do is important and valued and going to help our team win, like, that's a different
thing. And it makes them, ultimately, they would do anything for you. Run through a wall for you. So, like, Luka has that.
Yeah.
And I mean, he learned that from growing up in Slovenia to heading over to Madrid and learning the game the right way and playing at a professional level at, what, 13, 14 years old. And he brought that same model and that same game to the NBA. And,
like, I from mean, day one.
From day one. He's from day one.
So there it is. More pain for you to absorb. Josh Clark, a superb web guy here at the station, said I was at the game. Well, Nico stands and watches in the tunnel at midcourt the whole game. So there's LeBron talking Luka with Steve Nash.
It's because standing burns more calories. He doesn't want to sit. He's trying to be active.
What are these watching on a medicine ball?
Sitting is the new smoking, they say, and Nico knows that. So
they beat the Rockets, and speaking of Houston, what is going on there?
I have no idea what's going on in the city of Houston right now, but it has internet conspiracy theorists, the like really far fringes of the internet going nuts and coming up with some conspiracy theories. There have been four unaliving, as we talked about on Friday.
Yes, that's right.
Four unalivings connected to the Harris County Sheriff's Office in the last 6 weeks. 6 weeks. Four different people who either recently retired from there, recently left the department, or in the most recent case this week, somebody who was actively there working at the Harris County Sheriff's Department. Four of them in 6 weeks. The first three happened in the span of 6 days. That they all would, and then they just had another one recently. And
were these self-inflicted?
Yeah, these were all different various ways that they took themselves.
But why are you not saying suicide?
Oh,
because they will. Like, if you say that word, the stream will sometimes kick you off on YouTube and Twitch. So we've generally tried to avoid that. But
Eric said it Friday, and Bobby freaked out.
Eric said it about six times trying to get us kicked off. But we've gotten the stream kicked off before for saying it.
That's why they say on TikTok they'll say corn. Instead of...
They have replacement words instead of the P word.
Can you say kill? Can you say murder?
Typically, they will bleep. A lot of people will bleep that. But either way, that specifically, that word, the S word, which we can say on the radio, that wouldn't be a problem. It's just the YouTube and the Twitch would go away if we did it. But they said that Thomas McNeese, who leads the wellness program at the Harris County Sheriff's Office in Houston, said this has been like a bomb going off. They talked all about Ed Gonzalez, who's the Harris County Sheriff Department head. He says, it hurts and I grieve each loss. When a deputy dies, it is particularly painful because I can't help wondering what could have been said or done to help them. But this is now, if you go into like the really far corners of the internet, people are all just sort of, there's something going on. These people are being taken out. What cases have they been connected to? Is this an Epstein issue? What is this?
It is odd that you would have that many in a short amount of time.
Seems very statistically
improbable.
Yes.
And then if you want to avoid death by, can you say death?
Yeah.
By electrocution, just get fat.
Yep. That's all you got to do. Well, I should adjust that. If you're in Florida and you're fat, you can save yourself. So there are attorneys in the state of Florida that are trying to prevent their client from being put to death. And their claim is that just too fat. He's too fat. He's because of that, he has issues like sciatica and other things relating to nerves that his weight at this point would cause him to, if he were to get death by lethal injection, it would accentuate those issues that he's dealing with and thus would be cruel and unusual punishment. Well, and you cannot put him to death. And they're
so just shocking the hell out of him. That's not cruel and unusual.
No. There are some people who
and
think.
And don't get me wrong. Never mind. I'm not going to get
Well, you know, you can do what they did. The guy in South Carolina chose the firing squad.
Yeah.
He chose the firing squad because it was the quickest, he said, because the lethal injection could take 20 minutes. You could catch on fire with the electric chair.
Now, this guy would still get life in prison. To be completely honest, I think I'd rather just than get life in prison. I don't think I want to just spend the rest of my days in a jail cell.
I mean, I guess it depends if it's like the Shawshank prison or
What type of food? Yeah. I mean, what type of food are they serving?
I mean, Nate told me, what's Florida's cuisine. I asked Nate Newton. I said,
"How was the Nate Newton?" I said, "Name drop, jail name drop."
Yeah, I said, "How was the food in jail?" He goes, "Not bad if you don't mind a rib."
Cut out, you sucker.
You get one rib.
Cut out all the noise. Who are the players you shouldn't overthink in this month's NFL draft? That's next in Below the Belt on Sean and RJ. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Is Bucky Brooks the next one to leave NFL Network? Not because he's gotten a new job, but because he doesn't seem to know very much based on his most recent article.
Man.
I have news first.
Hit me.
Adam Schefter. NFL owners have now passed a rule that both teams will be allowed to possess the ball in overtime in the regular season. The original proposal was for a 15-minute overtime. It will be 10. 10-minute overtime. Both teams will be allowed to possess the ball.
So if somebody runs down the clock to 0 seconds on their first, does that just an untimed possession for the next team? That seems odd.
Wow, that's a good question.
A 10-minute drive?
Yeah. Like, I mean, at that point, or if you run down just to 40 seconds, like, well, this is your drive. You still get it, and you get 40 seconds to run your plays.
Yeah.
You get 40 seconds. I don't know.
Yeah, been I don't 15 care for minutes. That. I don't, if you're going to have it where both teams get the ball, that second team basically needs to have a full untimed.
They had to keep up the appearance of caring about the health and safety.
Yeah.
So that's the compromise. It's fair for both to get it. We won't make it 15 minutes. We'll make it 10. So that's my theory on why they made it 10 instead of 15. We can't have, you know, playing longer and longer and longer, especially after now you get a shorter period to adjust to a primetime game.
Yeah, so now there's a they changed the Thursday night flex scheduling.
Yep.
Used to be a 28-day window where they had to give you notification. Now it's 21 days where they notify you that you're playing a Thursday night game or it's flexed, which I, you know, from the NFL has one of the biggest laughing stocks is that they care about the fans in the stadium. They don't. The fans in the stadium are garnish of the game. They care about the fans watching at home.
What does Jerry always tell us? Only 2%.
Yeah.
2%, something like that, ever go into the stadium as NFL fans.
TV deals, like, I mean, that's where the salary cap really gets its drive. That's where a lot of the revenue comes from. So, I mean, it makes sense. I will say the whole player safety thing, like, oh, we got to look like that's a priority for us. Chris Collinsworth, this was in Mike Freeman's book years ago, who I believe you guys have interacted with before.
I haven't been able to in about, since 2012.
It's been a while. Yeah, that was around the time John Heyman blocked me. So, but in his book, he recounted this conversation that Robert Kraft had with Chris Collinsworth. And Robert Kraft was just talking to him about, like, hey, how do you think we've been doing with the safety stuff? I know that was concerning to you, but, you know, we've done some good things, right? And Kraft was blown away because Collinsworth, like, dressed him down and told him, he's like, I'm not going to believe a damn bit of what you say about safety or anything else until you take away the Thursday games. As long as you are putting the Thursday games still out there, you don't care about whether they're healthy or not.
Wow.
And he said, and with that idea, this will be something where people go, you dropping by another week the amount of time that teams have to prepare to stagger their practice schedules and get guys to a point where they feel like, all right, the physicality that they've run into, we feel like we've staggered this enough to where they're not going to be as worn down and beaten up, Brock Purdy tired. That's going to be, we've got a full month to prepare for that and change our schedules accordingly. 3 weeks now, you're just tightening again the time that they can adjust and potentially change their practice schedules and change the amount of contact that they're running into. Okay, over at NFL.com, one Bucky Brooks has an article out, which I think in general is an interesting thought process and an interesting exercise to go through. Yep. A couple of those, huh? And it's this idea every year. We run into these players who, when I mentioned Will Campbell, I don't know that his arms are long enough to play tackle. People asked that about Rashawn Slater years ago. Rashawn Slater's fine playing tackle. We've heard about 40 times. Oh, I don't know that he's fast. Kyle Hamilton, you're running a 4.6. Are you fast enough to play safe? Kyle Hamilton's fine. Stop overthinking him. And then there are others like Tease Tabor coming out of Florida, who ran a 4.63 as like a 200-pound corner, and that guy was awful. And you go, okay, we should have paid attention to that. But it's always good to look at and say, who do you not need to overthink? Don't worry about the peripheral stuff. Who just trust what you see because they're good players, and all the other stuff is just noise.
Was it Linderbaum?
Tyler Linderbaum was one of those. Is he too light? He's not 300 pounds.
His ass ain't big enough.
How is he ever going to survive? Let's forget for a second that he was like a state high school wrestling champion and pinned Tristan Wirfs at state. Let's forget about that and just say, nah, he can't handle. So some of the names that Bucky came up with as players you shouldn't overthink are close to the players I think should most be like, let's slow down and think about this guy. Here's some of the players that he has on this list. Shador Sanders. Take everything you want away from it. If you guys were in the evaluation process, like forget what other people have said, just what you've seen from Shador Sanders and how he's interacted, some of the stories that come out of Colorado, would you go with Shador Sanders and go, put away all that stuff people say about how he is and how he's maybe handled things? I'm gonna watch this film and we'll be fine with Shador Sanders.
Absolutely not.
You've got to think.
I'm really worried about Shador Sanders.
Especially at the top where you've got quarterback options and you need to find those separators.
The Shador thing is like, you know, you could make the argument like he didn't really beat anybody in college. Who was the great team? Who was the great team that he even played well against?
I mean, he had some good games against like USC, BYU. He played okay against them when they were decent teams. So I mean, he played. I don't think he beat USC in that game, but he played really well. So I mean, he
didn't play defense.
No, they don't. But I mean, Patrick Mahomes came from a conference that didn't play defense either. Big 12 didn't play it.
No, they didn't. I mean, Big 12 has had some good quarterbacks. There's no doubt about that. It's just, you know, like, but you know, the Big 12 kind of has stunk also.
And look, I mean, when you look at Shador's tape, I have Shador as the top quarterback in the draft. I have him number one above Cam.
Oh, so you agree with Will Chambers?
No, because I have him in the second round.
Also, no first round quarterback. No, Cam Ward's not a first round quarterback.
Mm-mm. No, Cam Ward's second round for me, and he's behind Shador. When you watch Shador's tape, though, there's flaws there that he still has to clean up. Like, it's not just this overwhelming tape that you go, phew, blow away everything else you hear and see, because that guy is just incredible. I like him. If I needed a quarterback, I'd probably position myself to take Shador, but it's far from any sort of a slam dunk. One of the other guys on this list, Cam Scataboo,
yeah, baby.
Oh, Lord.
Running back from Arizona State. What? Like, if you've, again, take everything else out of it, the dude clearly is massive ego. You got that angle right there. I mean, you guys had to vet me heavily. Imagine if you didn't think about me before I dropped on the show. You just plop me down here. And that ego, and you hadn't vetted whether you could stand it.
I ignored what many said.
That'd be a problem.
I'm warned about.
Yeah, I hear you, Jared Sandler. But when you look at Scataboo, the size, the in general, like when you talk about the projectability of guys who have transferred from smaller schools into this side, played the running back position, taken the beating that he has, that's again not somebody that you just say, all right, he's fine. Take.
So he's about the size that he's short like that. That.
Yeah, he's a bowling ball.
Scataboo is going to be. An afterthought in 2 years. He won't be a good NFL player. I'd maybe draft him in the sixth round.
Sure.
He's not going to be a good NFL player. I don't think that's a hot take, but it's a polarizing topic.
Who's he going to? Like, give me a team he goes to.
I don't care. Who's famous for drafting charity cases? never mind.
Well, like, who's a fullback? Who's a fullback team? San Fran.
He's going to be like a lot of other running back. If he goes to a team with a good offensive line, he'll be fine. If he goes to a team that doesn't have a good offensive line, he'll be a bum.
He's not going to be fast enough. He's not going to be conditioned enough. These are my predictions.
And that's the thing. You can't just walk away from that. What?
The conditioning, fast enough. I agree with the conditioning. Like, the guy just doesn't stop.
Come drinking?
Yeah. You fall for this. You fall for this Rudy tryhard stuff.
No. He objectively was.
I don't believe some of the things. I have other thoughts about some of the things he said, and some of the things I've heard about lifestyle.
Oh,
I'm factoring that in.
That aside. Like,
well, I mean, I can't really put that aside. That's what I'm factoring.
He says he doesn't drink.
That's what I'm factoring into my negative NFL projection of him.
Yeah, I want somebody who just, you know, goes balls to the wall in all aspects of life.
That's fine. He's going to go balls to the wall at 2 yards a carry.
Yeah, he will. but yeah, like the guy had almost like as impressive of a season as any running back outside of Ashton.
Yeah. Okay.
And you want to include Ashton because he played against tougher competition.
All right, but I also wouldn't then go like, well, I'm going to trust the tape then on Eric Crouch, and I'm going to pick him in the first round because there are no other questions because he was awesome. Crouch. He was awesome college last year.
Think of a comp for Scataboo that you're comfortable with to drop on us a little later. Come up with a comp for the career that he'll have.
Size-wise, he's Maurice Jones-Drew, right?
Yeah,
he's not as fast.
Maurice Jones-Drew now.
He's not as fast as Cam's not fat.
Just you come up with a career. He'll have this type of. You don't have to do it right now. We don't have time, but come up with one. It'll be a fun debate.
Mike Allstott.
Shocking. Another name on here, Malachi Starks from Georgia. And this is actually a good name. I struggle with Malachi Starks, the safety from Georgia, because I watch him and I think that's a smart player. That is a really steady, stable player with good instincts who plays disciplined football. The problem with Malachi Starks is the fact that he is a safety who comes in under 200 pounds. He's 6 feet tall, under 200 pounds. He ran a 4.5 40 at his pro day. His vertical was 33 inches, which is about the same as some defensive tackles. His three cone drill was 7.2, which is about Taco Charlton. And his 20-yard shuttle was 4.45. These are all numbers that safety's 20 pounds heavier than him. There's a real question about all of his athletic testing. But again, he's somebody who, when you watch him and you see him on tape, it's a good player. And you really have to wonder, all right, which side am I going to trust? And then the last one here that I don't know why he even throws him in here. Luther Burden. The receiver from Missouri, who has gotten a lot of comps to Deebo Samuel, has been mocked to Dallas several times. Here's the issue. Luther Burden's 2024 tape wasn't even the same player as 2023. So when we're talking about what reservations there are, it's not even a total bunch of athletic testing or other things. The tape isn't even the same. So which one are you telling us not to overthink? Don't overthink last year's. Say that's the player, not the one you saw 2 years ago. Or don't overthink his most recent tape and say 2023 is the player. I just, again, as I've said over and over again, I'd be terrified to take Luther Burden because yards after catch guys, when that's their MO, that terrifies me coming out of college.
Normally, I'm the one burning guest bridges, but add Bobby Belt to the list. I don't think DallasCowboys.com will be handing over Bucky Brooks anytime soon. That's fine. You got to be honest. B-Low, the belt on the home of America's team here on DFW Sports Station. We are also your home of the Texas Rangers. They got whooped yesterday. Kumar Rocker getting destroyed. But RJ Choppy is bringing up another question. Did the Rangers start baseball's ageism trend? And how many Rangers want to get the torpedo bat now? Final hour with some Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers next.